Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy. Most satisfied customers 11 years in a row. That is Red Energy. And Kia, introducing the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV. We started with Tom Morris from one chief to another. Ash Brown is the chief of the AFL record. You always know he's serious, Jared, when he walks in the studio. Three copies of the record. Yep.
Well,
in
I can see why. Oh. I can see why.
Just
because
looking good today.
When I saw this one, I immediately picked it up and opened the page.
It's got a golden sort of hue to it.
Well, it's the work of a master because it's made me open the page because he's talking about one of the, not I wouldn't say the great rivals, but it's a hell of a rival and it's a growing rival.
Become a great modern rival, really.
Between the Pies and the West Coast Eagles. Obviously, the Eagles won the 2018 flag, but that last year's reversal of that victory was the stuff of a truly great rivalry. And that's what features in the AFL record. It's available at good news agents and all AFL grounds. Welcome to you, Ash. This is a really interesting copy, and well done.
Thank you, boy. Good to be with you. Yeah, I like this rivalry because unlike some of the Collingwood rivalries, it's not based on insults or class war or anything. This is a rivalry based on good...
On rivalries.
Good footy. Going back to that Peter Sumich game in 1990 when he had the shot after the siren and missed. And that was when it started.
Yeah, indeed.
And it's been going since then. And you just know, like tomorrow night, as hobbled as Collingwood are, you have to watch this game tomorrow night because they're a chance. They're always a chance over there.
Well, if they are a chance, DeGoey has to be DeGoey, the non-tease, as Lethal described him, rather than DeGoey, the tease. He has to be best on the ground or close enough to.
You've got to play him one out and just let him do his stuff.
One out in the goal square. Kick
long bombs to DeGoey.
Long bombs to DeGoey. I like it. Let's move on to some issues. And the most notable issue right now is the other growing rivalry that seems to be flourishing, and that is Scoot McClure and Edward McGuire on AFL Classified.
Come on.
That's the second time they've had
TV
a big stinker,
on Monday,
isn't
Wednesday
it?
Night.
How have you seen it, and do you think it's healthy?
I think it's healthy for the punters. It's an interesting one. Ed is life after the Collingwood presidency is interesting for Ed, and he's still being – I saw it on Twitter before I came in here, someone saying, why are we still treating him and reporting Eddie like he's the president of Collingwood?
Well, I think it's because he's protecting his patch when he was president of Collingwood.
He is. Yeah, absolutely. And he sees this as a legacy play. I thought you played that well last night, Sam, for what it was worth. I mean, you had one very narrow aspect of the operations of Collingwood under his watch. And I think as Ed does sometimes, gets very defensive and looks at the bigger picture. You weren't talking about the bigger picture. You were looking at...
No, I clearly touched
the minutia.
Clearly touched a nerve, though. And I can understand upon reflection that nerve was Eddie protecting, Jared, as you quite aptly put it, his legacy, which was, you know, how dare you say that there was a debacle that happened under my watch.
It may also indicate that Eddie had fingerprints on some of those decisions.
So well, definitely.
I don't know that, but
I would
suspect
agree.
His vehement defence of it suggests that may be the
That's
case.
That's exactly what I took from it. I mean, the president doesn't pick the list, Ash, as we all know, but Eddie is a different kind of president.
A different type, a different beast of Collingwood. But how important is Eddie going forward? That's the fascinating conversation we're going to have, I think, on this segment ongoingly over the course of the year and even in the future as well. You know, how much does Eddie's opinion matter on stuff ongoing in footy now?
Well, I thought he actually a week ago tried to reimagine, if you like, or reinvent himself as a statesman of the game when he put up a recipe for Tasmania. He was speaking on behalf of the game, which...
Yeah, I thought they were...
I thought it was almost statesman-like, but it was probably a shade more aggressive than statesman-like, but it was certainly, I'm now a big picture football person.
Yeah, I agreed with what he said a week ago, but I think a lot of that was based on conversations he's been privy to over the past few years, and he was taking that another step.
So are we to believe then that that's the view of the AFL?
Yeah, I would imagine there's a fair bit of AFL support in that. Don't forget, before the corona came, Tasmania was number one on their agenda.
Oh, you reckon?
It was pretty close. That pivotal meeting, the day that they were told about the coronavirus, Tassie was almost number one on the agenda.
Ash, are you, as a Hawks man, are you disappointed in the club or are you defensive of the club for where they find themselves with the AFLW situation, in them not having a team?
Well, I think that they took their eyes off the ball for 6 months to deal with Dingley, and that was the time they were doing all their due diligence around the Dingley purchase.
The same time that Essendon took their eyes off the ball to deal with the supplement
and then
saga.
Been caught out. I mean, I thought Hawthorn didn't deserve a team at the time. I think they probably do now. They'll have to wait till at least 2023.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think they're paying. I mean, there are a couple of teams that got a license from the start who didn't deserve it, but got it because of their supporter base and nothing else. I mean, Carlton didn't do a lot of work.
I would completely agree with that.
Collingwood didn't do a lot of work.
Yep, I agree.
St Kilda were robbed from day one. And I think Hawthorn have been a bit unfortunate now because from 6 months after that, they have been very keen to get a team.
Yeah, and it's sort of, it doesn't, look, they missed the boat, Hawthorn and Essendon for me, but it doesn't sit well with me that two of the strongest clubs financially in the game that could actually do really well with a women's team haven't got one, while there are clubs that are still taking money from the AFL that...
I think the AFL is sort of in a way discriminating now against four teams because four clubs can't go to the... In a very tough market for sponsors and the like, the four clubs go to that market with one arm tied behind their back now.
I would agree.
Because they don't have a women's team. And that's, I think... My understanding, Gill's very uncomfortable with that. He would like to rectify that as soon as possible.
Ash Brown is with us. He's the AFL Records chief football writer. He's also a senior statesman in the world of football media. And I've got two more.
Senior statesman.
Well, he's a senior journalist. I should put that. Maybe
he's a statesman.
No, he's a senior journalist. We'll elevate him to statesman.
I go to the press box now. I feel very senior. I don't know anyone anymore.
I want to ask you about two issues. One I've got no idea about. The other one I've got a strong opinion about. The first one, and I haven't seen this, but you've got down for discussion the Roar publishing an article labelling North Melbourne a parasite club.
Yeah, this club, this is an article appeared on a fan, The Roar, which is a website that mainly sort of generates content from users. Someone wrote a very sort of infantile piece about North being the parasite club. Mm. And I thought, I actually made some inquiries on this. It wasn't North or the AFL who got the story taken down. It was just the North supporters virtually demanding of this website that they take it down, which they did with a retraction in the end. But it was.
Did it have any basis of fairness? Because right now North Melbourne haven't got any debt. There is a club down the road called St Kilda's got about $12 million debt. So it's an interesting...
It was using a lot of the tired and jaded language around North Melbourne and wasn't very well researched.
All right, something that I'm quite strong about, and that is the person that's got nyctalopia at the AFL, which is night blindness, specifically Thursday night blindness. I found out who it was. It's Marcus King, who's the general manager of AFL fixturing. And he put up a defence of their decision not to schedule Thursday night football in round 7 and 8 on SEN radio.
Well, I think it's a balance, and clearly we do get a really strong broadcast outcome, and that's, you know, for a lot of the fans, I think they really love Thursdays. But I think there is a balance there, and if you have Thursdays every week, I think it does become an attendance challenge.
So there it is. Essentially, we're talking about an attendance challenge. I mean, ultimately, there are other issues like the agreement with the Players Association. You've got the longer games. But if the AFL wanted to fix this, they could fix this. They get everybody to play 5 day breaks twice during the season. That's not a major impost. And I understand it's difficult for people in the country to get down to a Thursday night game, just as it is to get to a Sunday afternoon game. I mean, it's difficult for people to travel interstate to see their side play when they travel interstate, which happens to clubs outside of Victoria 11 times per season. So there's lots of imposts on lots of people, but the majority of people that watch this game watch it via TV, and the majority of people put out are the majority of people because they want the games played on a Thursday night. It's also commercially one of the dumbest things that the AFL are doing. And one of the reasons I suspect they're not going holeless bowler scoop is because they reckon there's an extra dollar in it next time they sell the rights.
And because they're probably a little bit worried about diluting the product. And that is...
How are you diluting it?
They're going to have to put up...
You're actually increasing the product.
No, I'm just saying if you had Thursday night, let's just say 23 weeks of the year, and then one of those ends up having to be Gold Coast Fremantle.
Scoop's exactly right. In order to make it fair across the competition, they're going to have to schedule some Thursday or Friday night games with some non-competitive teams.
Yeah, that are not St Kilda Richmond every week.
And that's why they're doing it, because they don't want to have to put Gold Coast and North Melbourne and Hawthorn and a couple of the stragglers up there on a regular basis.
Well, I would challenge you, with the exception of North Melbourne, who nearly took took the 4 points off Adelaide last week, and it was a very watchable game. I think that the appetite after last year's footy frenzy for an AFL game on somewhere between 7 and 7.30 is irrespective of who's playing. And I thought last year it was absolutely proven that it doesn't necessarily matter whether they're top or bottom. The competition is now so even that you're going to get a pretty fair result unless you're putting top versus bottom. But if you put two competitive sides, 10th versus 12th, if you put 2nd versus 5th, if you put 8th versus 1st, you are going to get a competitive outing. I mean, you can get a stinker of a game between top and 4th if 4th don't turn up, like St Kilda didn't turn up for a few weeks in the first part of the season. So anyway, at least I found out who's suffering from nyctalopia. It's Marcus King, the AFL fixturing boss. Hopefully he gets to see an eye doctor soon and we get his sight sorted out.
Ash, great to have you on. The round five edition of The Record looks a beautiful one.
Thanks, boy. Good to talk to you.
Ash Brown, the chief of the AFL Record.
Good tonight, Ash.